This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what are you doing? Aren't you guys on vacation?
As a matter of fact, we are, and it's me, Bean, coming to you from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Washington, USA. The most beautiful part of the country this time of year, where I'm spending some time here in July. And it's approximately 150 degrees cooler than my home in New Orleans. So good call right there. The monkey, Kevin, of the Kevin and Bean Show, is also on vacation this week and away from the show. Last I heard, he was in Las Vegas at the World Series of Poker. And I guess we'll find out if and when he comes back to work, whether he won $10 million playing cards or if once again this year he got lost coming back from the restroom during a break in the action and couldn't find his table and got disqualified from the tournament. One of those two things is likely to have happened. Your girl Allie is traveling Europe, and what I gather from her Instagram, has fallen deeply in love with England and may have already moved there, so we'll find out if she's back starting Monday. And, of course, Ralph Garman, the leader of the Garmy, has been holding down the fort, doing all of your favorites, not only the Showbiz Beat every hour during the Best of Kevin and Bean, but bringing you the Bachelor Report with Petros, the Keep It 100, and a lot of the other features that you enjoy. So I hope you are still tuning in the morning. However, fear not, because the whole show is going to be back in studio on K-Rock Monday morning.
Well, we are good if you just stay away.
Hey.
We got this without you.
I don't know that that's the attitude. But why am I here? It's not just because I've never done a podcast before and I wanted to see what it was like and I had a free day. No, it's because I have something so amazing that it won't wait until the show gets back on the air and I have to share it with you today.
Whatever.
No, trust me on this. This can't wait. I must introduce you to the passionate, objective Joker fan. Please enjoy it.
The Seven Nation Army seemed like it was a good idea. Who could beat the Seven Nation Army? It was a gigantic army. But the thing about a Seven Nation Army is that sometimes it can be kind of difficult to coordinate such a big army.
Okay, I know what you're thinking right now. This is the greatest song I've ever heard in my life, and we've just scratched the surface because I'm going to tell you in a moment about how this man has recorded more than 17,000 songs every bit as good as this one.
And there's lots of infighting and backstabbing within the Seven Nation Army. The leaders from each army seem to think that they are personally in charge. The leader from one nation says to the leader of the other nation, "This Seven Nation Army is my army." And the leader from the other nation says, "No, no, it is my army. You work for me." And they are always arguing with one another. This was not what was supposed to happen.
All right, you have now just met the magic that is Matt Farley. That's his given name. The passionate, objective Joker fan is what he has recorded that song, Seven Nation Army, under. But you can find him all over the internet under bunches of different names. He goes by the guy who sings your name over and over. He is the Sorry Apology Song Person. That playlist, by the way, is pretty great because he apologizes for everything from forgetting to RSVP to attend your wedding to "I'm sorry that my dog bit you." Those are the kinds of songs he does there. He is the Great Weather Song Person, where he has a ditty that he has performed for every possible kind of weather condition, from a mostly sunny day to a hurricane. He is the Boston Sports Band of New England, in case you have to scratch that special itch and you need a song about Bill Belichick or about the 80s Celtics, he's your man. The AV Club describes Mr. Barnes as Randy Newman meets Wesley Willis, and that is about as perfect as a description as I could possibly think of. Let's get a little deeper into his work. For instance, how about if you love Josh Groban?
Josh Groban, you're so good at singing nice songs, oh yeah.
When I came across this particular playlist, you know the first thing I looked for is, hey, is there a song about Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift, you sing incredibly wonderful pop rock crossover country songs.
How deep does it go? Do you have anything for, say, Phil Collins fans?
Phil Collins is a musical genius. He's a hit factory. He writes really, really good, really wonderful songs that everybody in the world just loves. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to argue with that. In addition to all the songs about singers, let's go a little bit deeper. I wonder what the Joker fan thinks about your favorite U2 album.
How about that Joshua Tree? Don't you just love that Joshua Tree? I gotta admit, I don't really like the song where the streets have no name. Just doesn't do it for me, but still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's so wonderful.
Now, I know what you're thinking. What is going on with this guy? Why is he spending all of his time writing all of these ridiculous songs? And I mentioned he's recorded over 17,000 of them. There are more than 1,000 just under the Passionate Objective Joker fan name on iTunes alone. So there's a little bit of cash if you bought any of those songs. But I think what's really going on here is you get tiny percentages of a penny every time somebody streams one of your songs. So there's two ways you can go. Let's do the math. You can either come out with a popular song that lots of people stream, and those numbers add up pretty fast, or you can come up with thousands of songs, each of which gets streamed very infrequently. But the math adds up the same. So let's say you're in the mood for Dancing Queen one night. You type that title into your streaming service and you see the ABBA song at the top of the list. Well, maybe 5 deep or 10 deep, you see another song called Dancing Queen and you think, oh, I'll click on that and see what it's all about.
Look at the queen, look at the queen, she's dancing, she's a dancing queen, oh yeah, look at the queen.
So it seems like the strategy is to come up with hundreds of songs that have the same title as songs that people might be online looking for. You didn't go there looking for that cover of Dancing Queen, but if you listen to it, listen to enough of it at least, dude's going to get paid. And that really adds up. How about if you're in the mood for American Idiot? No, no, not Green Day.
If you want to find an idiot, you can find a lot of them in America.
And how about one more? Drop It Like It's Hot. And I think I may prefer this version to the Pharrell and Snoop Dogg song.
Drop it, because it's like hot. If you hold something very hot in your hands, it's gonna burn your skin.
Trust me, by the way, if you start going down this rabbit hole, you will see many hours vanish while you're in the magic of this musical genius. One more, and I'll play this because it is the most popular song in the oeuvre of this guy, Matt Barnes, okay? Over 80,000 streams alone just on Spotify. His song is called What Did the Fox Say?
But when the fox stopped talking, everybody just started laughing and they all started looking at me. And I got the feeling that the fox had said something about me. What did the fox say? You got to tell me. Was the fox making fun of me?
Moving on, thing two, I want to talk about Switzerland.
High on the hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, good lay, good lay.
No, that's Austria. We're talking about Switzerland now. Switzerland is the one with the chocolate and with the watches and with the bank accounts. And as much talk as I hear about Las Vegas being a great convention city, I hear you haven't lived until you've been to a Geneva convention.
Boo!
Okay, fair enough. Apparently, it is against the law in Switzerland to have a guinea pig. Oh, no, they're down with guinea pigs as pets. You can have a lot of guinea pigs. You just can't have a guinea pig. In 2008, as part of sweeping animal rights legislation in that country, it became forbidden to keep just one guinea pig. Why? Because guinea pigs are highly social animals and can be prone to loneliness, and they need to keep each other's company. When I saw a mention of this policy a few days ago, my heart swelled up to think that there's a country that cares enough about the happiness of a guinea pig that they would go to such extraordinary lengths to educate their population about how to take care of them properly. So what do you do if you're a law-abiding Swiss citizen and you do the right thing and do right by your guinea pigs and you have two of them and they love each other and they live a long and happy life, but then nature takes its course and one of the guinea pigs passes away? Now you're technically in violation and you've got a sad guinea pig. Well, that's where Priska Kung comes into focus. She runs a kind of matchmaking agency for single guinea pigs. Yes, she has a rent a guinea pig business. She lives with around 80 guinea pigs and gets 3 or 4 calls a week from people who are in that exact situation. One's gone. We need a replacement. So you can rent a guinea pig for as long as your other one lives and then give the rental guinea pig back. Or what frequently ends up happening is you find out how great it is all over again to have 2 guinea pigs and you end up keeping the rent a guinea pig. That's such a marvelous solution to a problem most people would never, ever think about. I know almost nothing else about Switzerland, although I would love to visit there one day, but it does remind me of the famous quote. I don't know who said it, but the greatness of a nation can be judged by the way its animals are treated. So well done. By the way, Donna and I love guinea pigs. We used to have a number of them as pets. We had Wheat-Wheat, we had Frito, we had Bedhead, and my favorite, Tastes Like Chicken. And it's probably best if I don't tell you how we named him. Baby, you're a firework. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. Come on, show me. You go, girl. Wait, what? Wait, hold on a second. Were the lyrics to that, make him go I, while you shoot across the sky, I? Those were the finished lyrics? That's the final version of that song that you put out? I just noticed that. I never really paid attention to that song before, I guess. Speaking of fireworks, this will be too late to get into probably when we come back from vacation. But a week ago tonight, July 3rd, I'm watching the NBC Nightly News, and they're talking about fireworks and fireworks injuries, which are really one of my favorite things to look forward to every year hearing about on the news because, well, I'll tell you in a minute. Let's hear what happened this year. Now, again, this is before the holiday. This is last Monday. Let's see. Let's take the temperature of the nation, shall we?
Already this year, there are reports of people getting seriously hurt in accidents involving fireworks.
Oh, really?
Suffering severe burns, even amputations.
By the way, let's think about that for a second. You're heading into the holiday weekend and you're thinking, oh, a few days off from work, a cold beer, a little barbecue, a little light show over the river. You come out of the holiday weekend with a leg missing or a finger or a nose. I don't know what part of the body was lost, but they're doing some amputations. That's not what anyone's expecting. I wonder if there's any way to have avoided those amputations. I wonder if there's any way to have successfully navigated a 4-day weekend and not blown a part of your body off.
On this Independence Day Eve, close calls and horrific accidents across the country. In Houston, a 2-alarm apartment fire touched off by fireworks.
All right.
In Pennsylvania, a police chief lost part of his arm, and in Tacoma, Washington...
Hold on a sec. A police chief lost part of his arm. How's that conversation going to go the day he gets back to work, huh? And if you work for him, do you ever pass up an opportunity in the hall to say, hey, chief, you armed?
And in Tacoma, Washington...
All my fingers blew off except for my pinky.
I love this kid.
17-year-old Curtis Musevich lost most of his left hand last week, his chest and face covered in shrapnel wounds.
I didn't know that it was going to go off that fast. I knew I was doing something dangerous, but I didn't know it was going to go that fast. I thought I was going to at least have like 2-3 seconds to throw it.
Nationwide, as many as 11 people die and more than 11,000 people are injured in fireworks accidents each year.
11 people die... Now, I know that doesn't seem like a lot because we've got a country of 300 million people. 11,000 are injured using fireworks every year. Look, when I was a kid, there was a product called lawn darts. I know this seems silly now, but it's like a little dart that you throw at a dartboard, except it's a much bigger version. It's like 2 or 3 feet long. And the game was played where you hurled the lawn darts around the yard and you tried to get into a little target. Well, some kid got hit in the foot with one and went through his sneaker, and his mom wrote a letter and said, hey, maybe these lawn darts are dangerous. Like 20 minutes later, they pulled those off the shelves, and the rest of us couldn't have lawn darts because that one kid got hurt. How are 11 people dead and 11,000 every year injured by fireworks, yet you can still go down to the corner stand in most counties in this country and buy your own fireworks? I don't get that. Let's meet some more of this year's Darwin Award winners.
In Colorado, 9-year-old Haley Saxon is still recovering from second and third degree burns she received last year.
It was just heartbreaking, I mean, to see your child like that.
Well, maybe don't give your child fireworks when she's 8 years old.
And it turns out sparklers in the hands of children are often the most dangerous, burning hot enough to melt metal.
The clothing has ignited, which can result in very serious burns to the upper body, the airway, the face.
The expert advice tonight, forget the backyard fireworks and consider leaving it to the pros.
Am I just the grandpa get off my lawn guy? Am I insane to suggest that maybe fireworks should not be in the hands of civilians? That maybe it's okay to just have the professionals do that, like you have the professionals do so many other things that are dangerous? Does that make me anti-American? Do we have some sort of constitutionally guaranteed right to blow up whatever we want to blow up just because it's the 4th of July on the calendar?
Come on, let's celebrate America!
No, please.
The United States of America!
Actually, your segment was over like 5 minutes ago.
You know why!
All right, tell me why, Joker fan. Finally, on the topic of last week, please consider this my strongly worded letter to the jackholes who do decide, safe to be damned, I'm going to buy myself a truckload of M80s and I'm going to explode them one an hour for 4 or 5 days. No. No. You get a very small window on the night of the 3rd, only because you don't have the self-control to wait for the holiday, if you want to test out a few of the little firecrackers before the company comes over the next day. And then you have the evening of the 4th to shoot off the rest of your haul. You don't get the 5th of July. You certainly don't get the 6th of July. They're not holidays. And even if they were, you just can't make as much noise as you want in a residential neighborhood because you bought silly things that go boom. You don't want me going out in front of your house and weed whacking at 11 o'clock, do you? It's the same thing. I can't go outside and just scream at the top of my lungs until your dogs are howling along with me, because if I did that, it would make me a selfish neighbor and a terrible person who would have earned your scorn. So I won't make my unnecessary noise, and you don't make yours, okay? Unless you are guaranteed to blow off part of your arm, too, with the next one that you light, in which case, go ahead and Godspeed. Now, one final thing.
Back to the big time. Back to the crowd. Back to the cannon blast. We loud. Back to the tightrope. Back to the lions. Back to the acrobatics flying. Babies crying. Spectators scared. Eight boys. Douglas. Lady with a beard. First one to go. Red fist to the front row. The clowns are back in town. Hello.
No question, we live in interesting times, and they are never more interesting than when the insane clown posse is in the news, which isn't all that often. The band manages to operate pretty much under the radar, working out of their Detroit, Michigan home base. You only hear about them every once in a while when the FBI declares that their fans are a gang, or when an act on stage at their gathering of the Juggalos Music Festival one summer got pelted with feces. Or when you're up late one night watching a documentary and this lady shows up.
My name is Maniac. By myself, I'm a happy motherfucker. Living life day to day, doing my thing, being happy, doing that she loves to do. Being crazy, making family, being happy. Yeah, most people think I'm on drugs because I'm always happy.
Are you on drugs?
No, I'm not. I'm high on life.
Well, if your insane clown posse Google alert went off this week, it's because an axe-wielding man showed up outside a Massachusetts radio station demanding that the insane clown posse song My Axe be played. He wasn't looking for the hits like Miracles or Magnets. He was going for a deep cut. My axe is my buddy. I bring him when I walk. Me and my axe will leave your head outlined in chalk, is a little bit of how the lyrics go. Arriving officers showed up and found the man, 38, in the station parking lot, and he brought props, too. The song was called My Axe, and he was tossing sharp-edged weapons out of the car during a standoff that ensued, and officers unsuccessfully used a stun gun on him. Now, just like with Maniac, I'm not going to suggest that this guy was on drugs, but he must have been awfully high on life or something for a stun gun to not work on him. He eventually did surrender, he was arrested, and he is undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. And for all the effort, his song didn't even get played.
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. And so it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, thanks so much for checking out this bonus podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun for me, too. And don't forget, the Kevin and Bean Show will be back at full strength with everybody, all hands on deck, Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, back to business as usual. You can reach me anytime at the email, bean@krock.com. Yes, email is still a thing that exists. Or if you follow me on Twitter, you know my Twitter name is @ClydeTumbaugh. If that name doesn't sound familiar to you, you're confused by who he is. He's the great American who discovered the planet Pluto. Yeah, I said it, a planet. And I've been fairly stalking him in recent years. I've been to his birthplace in Streeter, Illinois. I've been to his hometown in Burdick, Kansas. I've stood in his office at the University of Kansas. And finally, just this year, 2017, I got to visit the Flagstaff Observatory, Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, and got to see all the great Clyde Tombaugh stuff there. And I'll leave you with a piece of tape from a Dr. Tombaugh TV appearance. It might have been on What's My Line or perhaps an earlier incarnation of that show from way, way back when, but you get a chance to hear a little bit of the great man's voice as I say adieu.
Now then, may we have our next contestant, please? Would you come in? You tell the panel, please, what your name is and where you're from.
Professor Clyde Tombaugh from New Mexico.
This is Professor Tombaugh, T-O-M-B-A-U-G-H, and he is from New Mexico. Now, Professor Tombaugh, if you'll whisper your secret to me, the folks at home would like to know what it is.
I discovered the planet Pluto in 1930.
This is Professor Clyde Tombaugh, who on February 18th, 1930, discovered the planet Pluto from the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona.
The mic has been dropped.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.